Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 67.
Max Pacioretty of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Because we're going into the hockey playoffs.
That's right.
And I thought, hockey player.
Hey, there you go. Good call.
Shout out to listener Don Julio, whose San Jose Sharks are facing the Edmonton Oilers.
That's going to be a rough series.
It's going to be a rough series.
Oh, man.
Good luck, my man. You guys got to the finals last year.
That's right. That's right.
It's the toughest trophy to win in sports.
Yeah. It's so brutal.
Good luck to you, sir. Yeah. I hope your team does well.
Yeah.
My team didn't make it.
Yeah.
Adrian's team fired their coach today.
He did.
Didn't make the playoffs either.
Oh, yeah. And fuck the Leafs.
Fuck the Leafs.
Fuck Leaf fans.
Totally. And while we're at it, fuck the Habs, too.
So. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
My team's building closed yesterday.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, Joe Louis Arena.
Wow.
Did their final game there.
That's unreal.
And they had a giant ceremony, and it was literally me on my couch crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was tough.
That's a big piece of history
right there. Yeah. That building's been every game I've ever watched.
Yeah, that's true.
Of the Red Wings.
Wow.
Yeah. They got a new building next year. It looks pretty sweet.
Okay.
We're not in the playoffs for the first time in 25 years.
That's unbelievable.
It's really tough. Yeah. It's going to really suck watching the playoffs, but rebuild, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we were only 6 points out of the playoffs or something like that.
Oh, is that right?
It's like, fuck.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
But we'll see. Next year, baby. Next year.
Cool.
What's up with you, man?
Oh, dude. No, just.
You had a pretty good weekend,
I did.
Fuck.
Yeah, I went to Seattle to see Radiohead. I've never seen them play before.
They're pretty good, eh?
Oh, dude. Yeah. They're like in their own league, dude.
Yeah.
They're so good. And like, I'm a really bad concert goer. Like, I don't ever recognize when there's something going wrong on stage or if there's any mistakes. And some people on the way out, they were like, oh, it was a sloppy set. And I was like,
well, wasn't there a drum machine thing during the glooming?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty hard to miss. But otherwise, it was like super tight set.
I might have watched the show illegally on Periscope.
There you go. That's
right. I thought they sounded pretty tight.
Oh, dude, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. I wrote a few songs down that really kind of blew my hair back. So Burn the Witch was pretty amazing. They opened with Daydreaming, which was pretty cool. They played Reckoner and No Surprises, which, that was so good.
No Surprises.
Yeah.
They didn't play that song for like 15 years.
Really?
Until this tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I was pissed, because I've never seen it live.
Yeah.
But that was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Lotus Flower sounds wicked live.
Oh, totally.
Holy crap, that sounds great live.
Yeah. Yeah.
The set list was awesome.
Yeah.
I was super jealous.
Yeah.
Even though I was watching it, I would have loved to have been there.
Oh, totally. And of course, because did Adrian cry? Yes, I did. But not until the final track, which was Fake Plastic Trees, which always has a way of just moving me.
Three so, encores.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their third encore. And what a way to go out.
Yeah, You and Who's Army into Everything in Its Right Place.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I texted you. I was like, everything. It's like, fuck yeah. I was originally going to say, hey, they're playing that song from the Accountant trailer.
Yeah, they didn't play a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
And it didn't play a lot of In Rainbows, which is my favorite Radiohead disc.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have liked to have heard a little more off the Bends.
Yeah.
Like Just or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or something like, I don't know, like The Daily Mail, which is like a single I love. But, you know, whatever. That set list was mint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
super jealous.
Yeah, it was super cool, man. So saw Radiohead. That, like, changed my life. And then, we had some good food when we went to the market.
Did you see some fish being thrown?
I didn't see any of that this time around.
Nice.
I think you have to go there early in the morning, which we weren't going to do.
No,
we went to this place called Lowell's that we've been to a couple of times. They have really good seafood there. So, yeah, had some halibut and chips, and Sarah had a tuna melt, and we were both very happy. And I bought some painting local artists. Like, you know, at the market, they have all these artisans there selling their crafts. And some guy had just some drawing of Cinerama, and it was a lineup with like 80s characters, you know, from like Star Wars, and Marty McFly was there.
Wow. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So it was a nice little, you know, it was only $10. So I was like,
Yeah. Sounds like a deal to me.
Yeah. So it felt really, really intimate and personal because I love Cinerama, and more on that later.
More on that later.
And, you know, a bunch of characters I love, you know, they had Gremlins, I think, on there and all kinds of cool stuff. So
did you hit up Scarecrow Video?
Not this time around. Only because I reached a limit where I was like, okay, if I go there, I'm going to spend money, and I can't afford to do that.
Every time I go to Scarecrow, I drop a couple $100.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, totally.
I wanted to, but I was like, well, I've been there before a few times, and I've spent way too much already.
Yeah, it's pretty much the best video store I've ever been to.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
Yes, people, there's still video stores.
Yeah, that's right. And God bless them for being there.
Totally.
And doing what they do. And, of course, the border was a breeze. Like, we went there.
I'm super happy to hear that because we're going in September.
Yeah.
And, yeah, smooth sailing sounds good to me, man.
Yeah. This felt like a test run for me because I was just like,
well, it is.
It really is, because things have been pretty fucked up for, you know, like, people of color. Because
I am Whitey McWhitey. Yeah. I'm so white, I'm pink.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got a little bit of color to
I
you.
Do.
So.
I do. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a little nerve wracking, but, you know, went through, they asked me the questions, I answered them, and they're like, okay, be on your way. And you know how they are, they're so just cold, and you know, I guess that's their job.
Yeah, but, I guess they gotta have a certain look to them to get hired, I guess.
That's true.
They all look like they're freshly tasered, but yeah, I'm super happy to hear that. Yeah. I was a little scared about that, but
yeah,
sounds cool.
Yeah,
we'll see if we get thrown off the plane for overcrowding. But maybe that's just another thing.
Yeah, won't happen to us, man.
No, we
that's high rollers.
We sprang for the first class.
We did.
Do you have you watched any baseball?
I haven't. No, how's that going?
Going okay. I think we're 4-3.
Okay.
Boston Red Sox, baby. Nice. Chris Sale lost today 2-1 to Justin Verlander.
Okay.
Who's like one of the top pitchers in baseball. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, baseball is pretty cool. Got a new video game, Persona 5.
Oh, how is that?
It's really awesome.
Cool.
Super loving that game. 20 something hours in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, supposedly it's a 100-hour game.
Oh, sweet.
So I'll keep on checking back with that.
Yeah.
It's really wacky.
Right on.
Guess what, folks? The green screen of death has no rules.
We don't.
So we record wherever the fuck we want.
We do.
May 27th, Vancouver, Pacific Cinematheque, 24-hour movie marathon.
Hell yeah, dude.
We're going to record another show.
We will.
Hopefully we'll have some guests.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because a bunch of my Vancouver friends are going. So
yeah.
Adrian's friends with them too. So hopefully we'll be... I love that show.
It's amazing.
Because it's so weird and off the cuff, and we didn't have a clue what we were doing.
You don't have notes, and we're recording it in like 10 segments, and I have to like lace them all together afterwards.
And Adrian's beat. Yeah. It's like 3 a.m. and he's like, I'm really tired.
Yeah. I'm on the verge of death.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, bring it. But
yeah.
I don't sleep very much.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So yeah, May 27th. Hopefully we'll have a good time there.
Oh yeah.
They don't announce what it is.
Yeah.
They haven't even told us what the idea of it is.
Oh yeah, the theme.
Yeah, last time it was TikTok.
Yeah.
So movies about time.
Yeah.
And the one before that was movies about movies.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So hopefully it's something cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome to see a bunch of friends.
Oh, totally.
And yeah, that's about it for me.
Wicked, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and WrestleMania took place, of course.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago. You watched that shit.
I know. I was at the theater, and they were playing it at the theater, and I knew you were watching it, and I was like, fuck it. I was going to check it out. I just walked in.
Yeah.
Because that's who I am. And it was absolutely awful. It was so long. Yeah. I walked in about a half hour late.
Okay.
Because Ghost of Michelle ended about 4:25 or so, and it started at 4. And I got out of there at like 9:10.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It
was supposed to end at 8.
It's a marathon.
And the theater manager guy kept on walking inside the theater to see if it was still going, because they had a movie that started 5 minutes after it ended.
No way.
And there was people who had bought tickets who were coming into the theater to get seats. And there was wrestling on the screen.
And they're seeing the final match for The Undertaker.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was absolutely a waste of time. I will never do that again.
It's a marathon,
yeah, dude. You always talked about how much of a marathon it was.
Yeah.
And I missed the pre-show.
Okay.
So how long did you watch?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Man, that was a long day.
The pre-show started at what, like 3?
I think it was 3.
Wow,
yeah.
Dude.
So, yeah, 6 hours of wrestling.
Hopefully you had some good eats.
Not really. I had Pizza Hut, and I was so sick by the end of the night. I was just like, yeah, I made a big mistake.
You gotta treat yourself and get some of that Alibaba or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I should get better pizza next time. Yeah. Lesson learned. So, yeah, that was... I don't know. I don't think I really have anything else.
That's it for me, man.
It's pretty action-packed for me.
I'm glad you got back.
Yeah, oh, totally.
We had some pretty severe windstorms in BC this weekend, and a lot of ferries were canceled, and Adrian almost didn't get home.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
it was hardcore. But yeah, I made it back. Thank goodness. Okay, so that's a pretty action-packed intro there. Let's move on.
Super busy guys right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have cool stuff we want to talk about. We'll do that.
Yeah, like, when do we have time to watch movies?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how we find the time sometimes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the next part of the show, the rant. This is where we talk about anything movie-related. I'll go first this time.
Sure.
Because I'm pretty heated, dude.
Get some.
So a couple years ago, I went to Fantastic Fest. I flew on United Airlines and had just a terrible experience. My first flight was delayed. You know, I guess that happens, right? But just the way they handled it for me, like, I arrived at my connecting airport, hustled to my gate. There was a guy standing there who's like, "Oh, dude, they literally just closed that door." I was like, "Fuck." So, you know, it was 5 minutes or less maybe that I missed my flight. So I went to the United desk and said, "Well, what now?" And they just kind of were like, "Well, call this number." And I was like, "That's not good enough. You need to help me out here."
Can they do that shit in the airport?
Yeah.
Don't they have a computer in front of them?
Yeah. So they're like, "Oh, we can give you a discount at a hotel, and we'll put you on a flight tomorrow morning." I was like, "Well, what's the discount?" And it was like, you know, $50 off a $200 hotel.
Wow.
It's just like, and that's US, right? I was like, "No, I'm not doing that." And they're like, "Here, take this complimentary travel kit." And it had like toothpaste and a little toothbrush. And
thanks for the fucking comb, asshole.
Yeah, and a little comb. So, so the reason why I'm ranting about United is because they're a piece of shit company. And last night they actually had security assault a doctor who was on the plane because he refused to get off the plane. They overbooked it. They needed 4 seats for 4 employees who had to go somewhere else to work. And they couldn't get 4 volunteers, so they used brute force to remove this man from the plane and his wife. And the man, when they yanked him out of his seat, he's yelling, screaming, crying, and then his face smashed against one of the armrests, I believe, and got a bloody face and split his lip open.
He is gonna get paid.
Yeah, I
hope he does.
It's crazy. Like, and yeah, and then they drag him off the plane, and it's just like, what fucking century are we in right now? Like, it was just the grossest treatment I've seen of another human, you know, in at least a few weeks.
Yeah,
it was. It was really gross, disgusting, and just kind of reinforced my stance in never supporting United ever again.
So, yeah, we're flying Delta, right?
Yeah, Delta. Yeah. And I've been on a Delta flight where they overbooked and they offered passengers. They just kept saying, "Okay, if you give up your seat, we'll give you $100 or in travel vouchers." And then 5 minutes later, they're like, "Okay, $200. And it got up to like 500 or 600, and then some couple went up and volunteered to.
Yeah, like if I didn't have to go to another film festival, I would have been like, "Yo,
yeah,
I'll take a free trip."
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Yeah, and that's what it boils down to. But they couldn't get volunteers. So it's just a gross situation. So fuck you, United. You're a piece of shit, and I hope that you rot.
Nice.
That's my rant.
That was a brutal time, Matt. I remember that.
Yeah.
I was freaking out. Like, you were fucking stuck in an airport for 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I think it was like 12 or 14 or some crap. It was still way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my rant, I got a question.
Yeah.
Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, that's
this weekend.
Right. Yeah.
You know they're going to play a new Star Wars trailer.
They're going to give us something.
For the what's it called? The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
They're going to play a trailer for it. I got to ask film Twitter, am I allowed to like this trailer?
Because
we're all of a sudden, we're not allowed to like trailers.
No, dude.
Like Justice League? No!
Fuck you.
No Justice League.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Am I allowed to like? Of course I'm allowed to like it. It's fucking Star Wars. You guys shut up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Preach, dude.
Rant out.
They're so predictable, right?
I know.
These people.
Yeah, there'll be something that'll piss them off. And like, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Somebody analyzing who's speaking all the lines and who's not. And it's like, dude, it's like a teaser.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, I can't wait. You're all going to be streaming it on whatever, YouTube or whatever, on Friday. So
yeah.
They got your time and attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I agree, man. Good rant. Good rant. All right, now that we've exercised the demons, let's move on. Hey, that ties in really nicely.
I'm still pretty evil, man.
There you go. That actually ties in pretty nicely with the title for our next movie. Let's talk about Ghost in the Shell.
It's my four-year-old daughter. By the time it took her to sing that lullaby, she learned to speak fluent French.
No,
there's an echo box up here. Someone's scanning data traffic. Let's see who's worth this kind of surveillance. Accessing hotel security network. Got it. 43rd floor. Someone contact the president's staff. Someone's watching him.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
So, directed by Rupert Sanders, Major is the first of her kind. A human who is cyber-enhanced to be a perfect soldier, devoted to stopping the world's most dangerous criminals. Scarlett Johansson. I'm going to say this wrong. Pilau Asbjak.
Yeah.
It's got that weird A-E thing.
Yeah.
I probably said it wrong. Takeshi Kitano.
Yes.
Beat Takeshi.
Yeah, man.
Man. Yeah, Michael Pitt and Juliette Binoche.
Yeah. Collecting a paycheck.
I was like, Godzilla and Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
She's got to eat.
I guess. this one, I think I liked it more than you did because you were spouting a lot of hate. But
oh, dude. It's
pretty much a failure on every level.
It is. I was spitting venom in every direction.
I know. I was like, whoa. I didn't think it was that bad. It's bad, but it's not that bad.
It is, though. It is so bad. Like, it's... First off, I always have to start with this dumb disclaimer because, you know, I didn't watch the original. I didn't watch any series of any kind.
You never watched Standalone Complex?
Don't know what that is, so no.
I used to really be into anime.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was an animated thing. Yeah, you probably, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, I had no kind of ties going in, so anyway, I just found the action stuff to be pretty generic. It looked pretty polished, but it wasn't really giving me much to root for. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, she's shooting some guy. Okay, yeah, she's beating up some guys. Okay, it's ScarJo. She's pretty hot. Yeah, we get it. But when, like, in the last, I'd say, 5 years or so, or maybe since the beginning of time, it feels like action movies just keep elevating what's good action. Like, the bar seems to be getting raised. You know what I'm talking about, like The Raid or The Raid 2 or the Judge Dredd movie.
It's pretty hard to touch The Raid 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the gold standard.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a really good action movie. Even Triple X, the last one that came out, was a pretty good action movie because it was fun. It was cool to watch. And but this one, I didn't feel any tie to any of the characters.
No.
I was just so bored.
The script is terrible. And I'm gonna spit some fire here. You're talking about how the effects looked okay. No, they didn't. Blade Runner looked better than this piece of shit.
Yeah, and it was trying to be Blade Runner.
And I'm like, how come Blade Runner, which came out like 30 years ago,
yeah,
looks better than this?
Yeah.
There's something wrong there.
That's true.
Granted, some of the fight scenes are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But man, this is just generic.
It
boring.
Is. Yeah.
Has no idea what it's supposed to be. The actors look lost.
They do.
Scarlett Johansson, who I guess is playing like a robot.
Yeah.
By being completely a robot.
Yeah.
Okay. Style
yeah.
choice.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Everybody else, like Michael Pitt, he's fucking terrible in this film.
I wish somebody told me he was in this movie before I saw it.
The only saving grace is Kitano.
Yeah.
But he's underused. He's,
oh, big time.
He has one scene where he's like able to be like action guy.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And I'm thinking, wow, he was in Battle Royale.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
This is not awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets like a 15-second clip. And otherwise, he's just sitting there shouting commands. And yeah, it's just so boring.
Good score.
I guess. I don't remember it.
I thought it was okay. Like kind of like synth, kind of, you know.
Okay.
And they played the original Ghost in the Shell theme over the credits.
Okay.
I don't know if you haven't seen it, so you would have known that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go here.
Do it.
The whitewashing stuff is pretty funny.
It's
fucking hilarious,
it's
dude.
Brutal. It is comical.
So this is not really a spoiler, but maybe it is. But if you're a little freaky about it, don't watch the movie anyway. It's a piece of garbage.
Yeah,
but
fast forward 2 minutes if you want.
They try to fix the whitewashing stuff,
yeah.
And they make it 50 times worse.
They make it way worse.
And it's so laughable and racist.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you guys doing? Stop.
Yeah, there's a scene with her and Michael Pitt. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this is worse than the person who's like, you know, I've got a Japanese friend, so I can say that.
It's, yeah.
No, you can't say that. You can't do that.
It's so bad.
Yeah. So bad.
I it's funny, too, because I read something on Twitter, and I was like, oh, man, they tried to fix the whitewashing. And I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like, I guess people got pissed.
Yeah.
And, you know, this movie cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Do you want to find a way to lose $200 million? Make this film.
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. With print ads and all that advertising,
oh, yeah.
This is going to lose $200 million.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot Minimum. Of money.
Yeah.
You see it in 3D?
It was, yeah, it was so bad.
It was terrible.
It was so dark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't see this movie.
Yeah.
Don't.
It's so bad. Yeah.
It's so much better to see.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I went into this one hopeful that I would enjoy it. Like, I always do that. Like, even if it's something I'm, like, kind of iffy on, you know, I'm spending my $12 to $15 or whatever it is.
Dude, I saw The Boss Baby.
Okay.
Do I win?
You win, dude.
Yeah, okay.
You win for sure. Or maybe you lose.
More on that later.
Yeah, so yeah, this one's just bad, and it's not just because of the whitewashing. The whitewashing is just it's the kick in the face while you're down. It's just,
if the movie had been good, I wouldn't even noticed it.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, like, if they had just not did what they did, it might be, I don't know.
No.
There's so many what ifs in that statement.
Yeah.
No, it's bad. Don't see it.
No, it's like, I rate it 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
You're probably lower than that.
Yeah, I'd probably go like maybe 1, 1.5.
Wow.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just so boring. And with that cast and that budget, like it should not be that boring. That franchise, which I'm told has a lot going for it.
Is Major a replicant?
Oh, gosh. You thought about this movie way more than they did.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
All right. Let's bury this piece of shit movie.
That bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk about Trainspotting 2.
I think you called it by its wrong name, sir.
I did not. Trainspotting 2 is the correct name.
Adrian's really not a fan of the actual title of the film. So I will say it just for prosperity.
Oh.
T2, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Trainspotting.
Yeah, sure.
It's on the credit.
I guess so. That, though.
Can't fail again, Mark. You know, I need to detox the system.
Oh, spud detox the system. What does that even mean? doesn't mean anything. It's not getting it out of your body that's the problem. It's getting it out of your mind. You are an addict.
I think I haven't heard that 100,000 times, Mark. You got 12 more steps for my comedy.
So, be addicted. Be addicted to something else.
Like you're running until I feel sick?
Yes. Or something else. You've got to channel it. You've got to control it. People try all sorts. Some people do boxing.
Boxing?
Well, it's just an example. I don't mean you should...
So what did you channel into?
Getting away.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Danny Boyle. Yeah. After 20 years abroad, Mark Renton returns to Scotland and reunites with his old friends Sick Boy, Spud, and Begbie.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, Johnny Lee Miller, Robert Carlyle, and the great Ewan Bremner.
Yeah.
Interesting film.
It is.
I'm a little in the, I don't like some of it, and I really like a lot of it.
Yeah.
Problems aplenty, but I really enjoyed it. Really awesome seeing this cast together. Huge fan of the first film.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of idolized that film when it first came out. It was such a breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so nice to catch up with the characters, but it just kind of gets off to a rocky start.
It really does.
Mark Renton's mom dies, and he comes back to Scotland for like the funeral or something, and it's like he expects all these ex-friends of his to be like happy to see him.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like a weird tonal thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of put off by it. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? He like walks in the room. He's like, hey. And they're all like, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like he's suspecting them to like give him a hug or something. Yeah. I'm just like, that's just weird.
Yeah. I found too that Johnny Lee Miller had to do a lot of the early lifting in this movie. And let's face it, he's not as good as he used to be.
Ewan McGregor in an interview said it's because he's sober.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Ewan McGregor said that supposedly he was just like drunk the entire time they filmed that film.
Wow.
So
that would explain it. There's an interesting thing though that I read in a review from Jason Bailey. I think he runs Flavor Wire.
Nice.
He wrote a review, and in his review he talked about how Ewan McGregor and Danny Boyle haven't worked together since. Because he was in Boyle's first three films, right?
Yep.
And was Trainspotting the last movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No.
Because he promised McGregor the role that DiCaprio took in the beach.
Right.
And then when he didn't give it to him, they didn't talk for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that narrative that's going on. Like Renton is kind of Danny Boyle in this case, and I think that's interesting to think about. I didn't think about that while I was watching the movie, but afterwards I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I was really kind of lukewarm on this one until I just started thinking about it, and I was like,
it gets really good when the gang starts doing the gang stuff, like the stuff they always used to do.
Yeah.
Like Renton and Sick Boy fall into old patterns right away.
Oh yeah.
And it's really fun.
Yeah.
But I think the real MVP of this film is Spud.
Yeah, he really is.
Who, at the beginning of the film, is in the worst position of all of them. He's like at rock bottom.
Oh yeah.
From a guy who's probably hit rock bottom 50 times. This seems like his rock bottom of it. And throughout the film, he actually matures.
He does.
And becomes a totally different character and becomes the person who kind of holds them all together with his skills.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
Yeah.
I freaking loved Ewan Bremner in this film.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Lee Miller is good.
Yeah.
For being an asshole.
That's true.
Ewan McGregor is Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Robert Carlyle is really good.
Yeah.
As Begbie.
He is something else.
He's just a fucking psychopath. Yeah. And he's really good at it.
Yeah.
I loved, turns out Franco was in jail for the entire time.
That's right.
That between the two movies.
Yeah.
And he had a kid.
That's right.
Who is completely not like Franco.
Yeah.
And he does not kind of know how to take this.
Oh, exactly. And it's
awesome.
Yeah. Their stuff was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, the things that, as I was thinking about it, the things I took away from the movie is I was talking with a friend of mine at work about this, and he was like, oh, you saw Trainspotting too, right? How was it? And I was like, I didn't really like it that much. And then I started talking about it. I was like, wait, I think I actually did like it quite a bit. Like, there's stuff, like the when Renton goes home, he puts on a record, and I won't, and you hear a couple beats and you know what it's from, and he stops the music.
I love the nostalgia.
Yeah.
It actually works in this film.
It does. Yeah.
Plus, the opening credits of this film, I got teary.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I was like, holy crap, this is like perfect.
Yeah.
I freaking loved parts of it. It's just that first 20 minutes that kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
But once you get past that, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I was really quite impressed by it. Danny Boyle knows how to shoot a film.
It
looks really good.
Yeah.
Everybody's there. Looks like they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's not getting any higher, but I really enjoyed it. It's not the first film, but don't expect it to be.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's part of the problem.
And I love how it becomes really apparent that they all have addictive personalities and are still junkies. They just replaced it with something else.
Yeah.
It's like Sick Boy is like a coke addict now.
Yeah. He just moved to something else.
Yeah. And like Spud, while being a junkie, did odd jobs that taught him stuff.
Yeah.
That once he got sober, he actually found out he was pretty good at.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Renton's just a douchebag. He's exactly. always been a douchebag.
Yeah.
And it works, too. Like, it all just kind of encapsulates everything that I loved about this film, but they're 20 years older.
Yeah.
And it works. I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other things I like, too, is how there's a lot of nonverbal storytelling in this one. Like the opening shot shows Renton running on a treadmill, and you know, running has been a big thing in both movies. And you know, you think about him running on a treadmill, it's like, yeah, he's still running, but he's going nowhere. Like, he's not advancing.
Choose life.
That's right. Did he choose life? Who knows? But Spud has a few moments where he's reflecting on, he sees different areas that they've been in before, and he reflects on that, and he has these flashbacks, and you see, it's like seeing life through an older, more mature set of eyes. And I've had that feeling, like if I go back to my old hometown or go anywhere else that was familiar to me when I was a kid, or my, you know, younger days when I just flew out of the nest kind of thing, you know, things look a lot different when you get older, and I really enjoyed that aspect of the movie. And I think Spud was the one character who was able to appreciate those moments, and I really connected with that.
I wish we were spoiler-tastic, because there's something I'd love to talk about Spud that he does that I think is just great.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to ruin that for you guys, but it's a good movie. It's not great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the hardcore fans will enjoy it. They'll take a lot to enjoy out of this. And what more could you ask for?
I'm glad you kind of came around on this one.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a bad film.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like this is a huge film.
It is.
Trainspotting is a all-timer.
Yeah.
And I think they did a decent job at this one.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I was really down on it at first. I was just like, you know, I watched it and then I reflected on it overnight, and then I posted a couple tweets the next morning going, oh, like, why was I watching? Why does this exist? And all this stuff. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I was thinking about moments from the film, thinking about how I've changed as I've grown up, as I've, you know, 20 years later, you know, and thinking about all these weird things. And I was like, holy shit, maybe I did enjoy this quite a bit. So, yeah, it's really good.
Well, I'm really glad you enjoyed T2 Trainspotter.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, never going to live that down.
It's never going to get old, man.
Right on, dude. Cool. So, yeah, I think that's a hearty recommend from both of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go wrong with this one.
Yeah, for sure.
That first 20 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to the big finisher here. I don't really know much about this one, the production and the release. So maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about that, because I think you know more about
that. Yeah, I got a little info.
Cool. So the next movie we're going to talk about is called Your Name. あの日、星が降った日。それはまるで夢の景色のように美しい眺めだった。
課後
わり俺今日これからバイト。
もうこんな田舎やだよ、こんな人生やだ。
来世は東京のイケメン男子にしてください。
Okay, so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this film?
So it's directed by Makoto Shinkai. This might be the worst IMDb thing ever.
Okay.
It makes no sense.
Okay.
You're going to like this one.
Yeah.
Two strangers find themselves linked in a bizarre way when a connection forms. Will distance be the only thing to keep them apart?
Wow. What?
I'm going to read that last sentence again. When a connection forms, will distance be the only thing to keep them apart?
Oh.
What does that even mean?
Oh, man.
IMDb.
That's a bad translation,
Sometimes you just really suck. Was that in kanji before and you translated it badly? Yeah.
It's like one of those awesome, like, trailers you watch, right, that have now North American trailers.
So this one opened last year in Japan, and it made $330 million in Japan.
That's awesome.
It's the biggest movie in the world that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
It's, if you count what it's made so far in its run in North America, plus it's the number 6 or 7 movie this year.
Really?
Dollar wise.
Wow.
It opened on 288 screens on the weekend and almost made the top 10.
That's unreal.
Yeah, it's a huge film. I saw it a couple weeks ago and didn't really want to talk about it till Adrian saw it, because I thought it was a pretty important film.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian just watched it, and I have absolutely no idea if he actually liked it or not.
Yeah, you have no idea.
So, Adrian, did you like Your Name?
Yes. Yes, I love this movie, man.
Cool.
It's this really cool blend of, like, coming of age, sci-fi, love story,
Freaky Friday.
It's like, yes. And the cool thing is, it's really smart. Like, it establishes its rules, and it's the kind of movie I think that'll get better after I see it at least one more time. So there's so much going on with the sci-fi elements.
I dig the rules.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So the idea, when I said Freaky Friday, so a teenage girl and a teenage boy, when they go to bed, switch bodies.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then they, once the day goes by, they return to their body. But if they don't have some way of, like, reporting what happens, they forget it.
Yeah.
So they use their cell phones because it's like a technology movie.
Oh, totally.
So they write notes to each other.
Yeah.
And they do weird stuff to each other in these notes. And I'm watching this film, and I'm like, this is a little girl film. Why am I liking this film? This is a romance film. Yeah. Why am I liking this?
Yeah.
It's because it's so charming and lovely.
Yeah.
This all this stuff happens at the end where it becomes like a big action film, but still at the core, there's this really cool little love story kind of builds, and there's like a sci-fi element, and I'm just like, I shouldn't like this film at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's one of the better films I've seen this year.
Oh, totally.
And it absolutely shocked me.
Yeah.
Like, I this was not made for me.
Yeah.
Like, The Boss Baby was not made for me.
Yeah.
This film was not made for me.
Yeah.
Why am I liking it so much?
That's right. Yeah, this really, you know, when you write down the plot elements on paper, this sounds like young adult kind of thing, right? Which isn't always what we connect with.
Like, this is not Twilight, though.
Yeah. This is, and that's why I commented, it's really smart. Like, it establishes its rules and they stick to them, and it's mostly easy to follow along as long as you're watching with your eyes open and a full attention on the movie.
Like, and when they switch bodies, they do really funny stuff. Like, the girl inside the boy's body sets up a date.
Oh, yeah.
And the boy is super, like, pissed off that she had done this.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is really cute.
Yeah.
I like this. And I like the two main characters. And I like all their friends.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, totally.
It's just really well written.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't like this.
Yeah. I wrote down here, it's an emotional movie without being manipulative, because you get that smart writing and you get that investment from the audience. And Yeah, I really connected with this in a big way.
And they throw in like a bunch of Japanese culture stuff, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Like how you got to respect your grandparents and stuff like that too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really well-written movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They talk about their culture and some of the things that they, like ceremonies that they participate in and the beliefs they have, of the things that happen during the ceremony. And these are very meaningful things in the movie. Like, they add weight to the movie. It's not just, oh, by the way, here's this thing that we do.
Here's a dance scene.
Yeah. I would say the story has familiar elements, but the way it's put together is in a very unique way that I really enjoyed. I just had a really, really good time with this movie and wanted more.
My one problem with it, like every anime film, seems to have like four endings.
That's true. Yeah.
As an example, at the last 24-hour movie marathon, we watched The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Oh, right.
Which literally has six endings.
Yeah.
And it's 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
This one is under 2 hours, I think. Still got a couple endings there.
It does.
But you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but it's a little bit of a nitpick, but whatever. Yeah. Still really watchable.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I'm happy you dug this. I didn't know. I thought it was maybe just me being like weird or something because I shouldn't have liked this one.
Yeah.
But now that you liked it, I feel a little bit more.
Cool.
Yeah. Happy about that.
Right on. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I think there's something in there for everybody kind of thing, you know? Like, I don't think it's because, yeah, as you say, it doesn't seem like it's made for us. But, you know, couple old dogs like us can enjoy something like this.
So. Yeah. I'm sure it was made in to try to get 13-year-old Japanese girls to see the movie six times.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Oh, totally. Because
it made so much money.
Yeah.
But, other than the fact that I knew about this film, it's like one of the surprises of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you would seek it out. This is kind of a must-see, I think.
I think so, too.
It's one of the first, like, other... You were all going to see Logan.
Oh, yeah.
You all knew about that one. But this one, you probably don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth seeking out.
Oh, totally.
It's like a really high recommend. I rated it 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
That's pretty rare for a young adult film.
Yeah.
And Adrian doesn't like animation.
So. Yeah. to surprise you even more, I gave that one a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
I love it that much.
Nice.
Because it's got these really cool visuals that'll be burned in my head, like, probably forever. I'm big on visuals, and it's not just, like, we've been going on about the story and the plot elements, the sci-fi stuff. It's all smartly put together, and they really tell the story visually, like, just, I think, to perfection. And it's refreshing to see that in an animated film. I love the hell out of this movie.
Yeah, wait for the eventual North American remake of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be live action starring Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
It'll have that dumb little kid who's
in Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah, Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay and Kate Hudson.
He's in every movie now, damn little kid. Okay, before I take the show down even further, do you have anything else for your
name? No, man, as I said, it's like it's a complete surprise.
Totally.
It's a freaking lovely film.
It is.
It's really lovely. I think it's available. I think people can see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So find it.
Yeah, check it out.
No excuse.
Okay, so let's move on to the next part of our show, Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie, we watch it, we come here and talk about it. Now, because these movies are typically a little bit older, sometimes they're newer, we do wander into a bit of spoiler territory, so just a quick heads up. And this episode's Movie Club selection is The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this movie?
So, yeah, it's from 2007, directed by Julian Schnabel, starring Matthew Amalric, Manuel Seignier, Marie-José Croce. I love her.
Nice.
Anne Cassigné, the great Niels Arstrup, you might know from Un Prophet.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Max von Sydow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, shot by the great Janusz Kaminski.
Okay.
Who's known for shooting Spielberg.
Oh, no. Shoots
every Spielberg film.
Okay, yeah.
Schnabel won Best Director at Cannes and was nominated for 4 Oscars. It's a story of a the editor of the magazine Elle, Jean-Dominique Bobby. This is a true story.
Yeah.
Who had a major stroke that crazed his brainstem to stop working.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there was no connection between the brain and the body, and he became a complete paraplegic.
Yeah.
There's nothing there other than he could blink his eyes.
Yeah.
Which became one eye.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah.
That scene is wicked. So yeah, he can only communicate through his blinking, which is rather interesting. And through this blinking, he decides, hey, I have a book deal.
That's right.
I'm going to write a book. Somebody is going to transcribe me blinking out letters.
Yeah.
What?
That's absurd.
Absurd. I freaking love this film. I watched it earlier today, and I was a crying mess.
Oh, yeah.
It's so touching and great.
Yeah.
And I really don't know what you thought about it.
Yeah.
So, Adrian, Charlie, did you like The Diving Bell and the Butterfly?
Oh, yeah. I quite enjoyed this one.
Nice.
It's I believe when you talked about it last episode, you said you haven't seen anything like this. And that's really true. Like, the movie starts with, from his perspective, his point of view, and you're confused. You're going, what's happening? And they're telling him, here's what happened to you. You had a stroke. And he's responding. You can hear his voice. He's
the internal doing voiceover. Monologue. Yeah.
Yeah. Internal monologue. And, but he's not physically saying words. These are just his thoughts. And they're like, oh, he can't talk. Oh, yeah, he can't respond to us. And through this really cool technique, they learn how to communicate with them.
Two things about the opening. Could you imagine, this was still 35 millimeter.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being a projectionist trying to focus off that film?
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Kaminsky was on another level that part.
Yeah.
Just the way, and two, how did they shoot that?
Yeah, I don't know.
With like a steady cam on somebody's chest that's constantly moving?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, it's a very complex shoot because you're seeing everything through his eye, essentially. And yeah, he's looking around and it feels natural. Like it really feels like you're looking through the lens of somebody's eye.
And nothing is in focus?
Yeah.
And then it is.
Yeah.
And then it's not. And there's filters going on, and it's so immaculately shot. It's so impressive.
Oh, yeah.
I was rewatching it today. I'm like, wow. Like, Kaminsky was just killing it on this film. Yeah. As was Julian Schnabel. I think he's really underrated. He's only made a few films, but this one is just unreal.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's off a book, but I'm thinking he had a lot of input on this one.
Oh, totally.
It's a really hardcore film. Like, just the idea of that. They call it locked in syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. Where the brain is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing else is.
Yeah.
So they decide they're going to try to get him better though.
Mm-hmm.
Like by physio and trying to, you know, speak.
Right.
Use his mouth, form words, maybe swallow food.
Yeah.
And they want to get him to communicate. So he has a physiotherapist, somebody who does all the translation through this really cool alphabet where they have the most used letters in the alphabet, and they just keep on saying over and over again what the letters are until he blinks once.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, letter S.
And then he has somebody who translates that into words into a book.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think this would take a while, but by the end of the film, they're doing words really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I was really shocked by that because they're really good at like figuring out, you know, they've done three letters and they're like, okay, there. And then he blinks.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
It's weird. I own the book.
Oh, really?
I bought the book a few years ago and haven't read it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But, that's really cool. This is a weird film, and I'm glad you dug it.
Yeah, it's really good, man. Like, and I was fine throughout most of the movie until Max von Sydow shows up, and just, like, he has this scene that just wrecked me. Like, I think it was the phone call.
The shaving scene's interesting,
too. Oh, the shaving scene's really cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the phone call, just thinking about him calling his son, and he talks about how he's stuck in his apartment and can't climb his stairs, can't make it down the stairs, can't travel to see his son. and he can't hear his son's voice anymore. He has some lady speaking on his behalf, and just trying to think about what that would be like for somebody I love. Like, that would be devastating.
Dude, that's the phone call scene absolutely crushed me today.
Yeah.
I was just bawling.
Yeah.
It's so tough. And Fonsito, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know him from the Ingmar Bergman films. And, like, he's like fine wine, man.
Oh, yeah.
So great. Speaking of great, Amalric is really great in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Not just from, like, the whole... it switches from, like, first person to, like, a regular view. Yeah. And you actually see him in bed. He looks like he had a stroke.
Oh, totally.
And then you find out that Jean-Dominique Bobé was this man who was so full of life. He was the editor of this really big fashion magazine,
mm-hmm.
and he liked women.
Oh, yeah.
He liked fast cars.
Yeah.
And he liked his kids.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the film where they actually show what happened when he had the stroke, and mm-hmm. the way Amalric plays it, I think it's just genius.
Oh, yeah.
This was one of my favorite films of that year, cool. and I thought he should have won the Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see that. Because like a performance like this, even though he's still, for most of the movie, it's still physically demanding, like what he's doing with his face and little tiny gestures with his eyes. Like, you never think about how effective that can be, but he really gets the most out of it.
Like, during the Fonsito scene where they're talking on the phone, Schneibel cuts to Amalric in bed, and you kind of see his eyes water up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck!
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is genius.
It really is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I kept thinking while I was watching it, I was like, what did they freeze his face? Like, did they give him something? Like, how is this possible? And yeah, it's just a classy movie from top to bottom. Everybody involved, like all of the performers in this are just... spectacular.
Schneibel pretty much picked out every beautiful French actress in this film too.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like, thanks, Julian.
Yeah.
So yeah, the real Jean-Dominique Bobby died 10 days after the book was released.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a fascinating film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
As I said last episode, and as you said, you've never seen anything like this. So if you haven't seen Diving Bell and the Butterfly,
yeah,
I think it's pretty essential.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It did take me a little bit of time to adjust, but that's the design of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable. You're supposed to be jolted out of your seat. And that's, I think, the magic of cinema is... I've seen probably thousands of movies at this point in my life, and for something like this to come along, and even though it's how many years ago, 10 years ago, something like that, it can still wow me, and I think that's really cool.
Cool, man. Cool. I like that. Yeah. Movie Club is hitting its stride, man.
Oh, totally.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it. I recommend it.
Oh yeah.
It's a tough film, but it's really uplifting and it's beautiful and well worth your time.
Oh yeah.
And if you do watch it, drop us a line.
Totally.
Even if you don't like it, tell us what you think.
Yeah, especially if you don't like it.
Next film.
Yeah.
When I was watching Diving Bell and the Butterfly, I was searching through Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool resource. Plus, everybody has Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
So they can watch it.
Yeah.
Because you might not have access to a DVD or a Blu-ray on some of these older films.
Yeah.
So from last year.
Okay.
I've done this twice now.
That's right. Yeah.
I did it twice last year. So this is the second film.
Okay.
It's a dreaded documentary. We've had some problems with documentaries.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
I thought I'd give it another try.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
And I think this one's really damn good, and cool. I don't know how you couldn't like it.
Yeah.
So from last year, Tower.
Okay, yeah.
A film I was really, really high on.
Yeah.
And I talked about it a lot. And it's on Netflix, so you have no excuse not to watch it, people.
That's right.
It's about a shooting in the 60s in Texas, Austin, Texas, where a sniper went up on a bell tower at a university and just started picking people off.
Oh, yeah.
Did I mention it's animated?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I heard that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's also like nothing you've seen before.
Oh, really?
So I really hope everybody likes it. I hope you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tower.
Wow.
It's really good.
Cool. Yeah, I know it has a really special place in the heart of one of our friends of the show, brother of the show, Will Lindis from Movie Bears Podcast, because he lives in Austin. So that's his home. And he's one of the champions of that film as well.
Cool.
So
right on.
Yeah, looking forward to watching that and finally being able to join the conversation.
Yeah, and I think you will have a conversation after it.
Cool.
It's a really cool film.
Awesome. So yeah, as we always mention during Movie Club, if you want to join Movie Club, it's as simple as watching the movie, sending us your thoughts through Twitter or Facebook. And this is not only limited to, you know, movie like Tower, which is going to be on our next episode. If you happen to watch any other Movie Club movie, whether it was the first one we decided on or one from a few months ago, we'd love to hear from you. We really enjoy that aspect when we do hear from people, and we'll read that on the show.
I have a weird little update from a couple episodes ago.
Okay.
You watched Train to Busan.
That's right, yeah.
Did you know that Train to Busan has an animated prequel?
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Soul Station.
Wow.
I have a copy of it.
Okay.
So I'll be watching it soon.
Cool.
And if it's any good, I'll let you watch it.
Sweet.
If it's not, I'll... yeah. It'll go into the ether. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. Wow. I had no idea. But then I read a review and got a hold of it.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Right on.
So I'll let you, maybe in lightning round next episode, I'll let you know how that is.
Cool. Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
So if you do want to join Movie Club... next time we record is going to be April 23rd, maybe 24th. We'll see. And
where we talk about the fate of the Furious for 2.5 hours.
That's right.
About the artistic merit of Vin Diesel's facial pecs.
Yes. Yes. Yes, let's do that. Let's talk for 30 minutes about their wingman suits.
They got a tank?
Yeah. No, they got a submarine in this one, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Again, before we lower this, the quality of this podcast anymore, let's move on. So the next part of our show is the lightning round. This is where we talk about other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. We just don't give it the full review treatment.
Do you have anything?
I do.
Oh, cool.
I've got a few.
I knew you were super busy, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Going away, it's, you know, weekend is usually when I watch all my movies and take one of those weekends away. But I did watch some stuff. Finally caught up with Prevenge.
Nice.
I love that movie, dude. Alice Lowe is her name, right?
Yes.
She's the writer, director, and star of this movie about a woman who's pregnant, and she was actually pregnant during the production of this movie.
7 or 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And her child is talking to her, making her kill people and do crazy things. And as you start to learn why, I think the movie takes a slight dip in quality, but I still really, really love this film and recommend it to people to check out.
See, I'm not going to spoil anything. But what you just said about the film is completely not how I thought the film went.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still really enjoyed it. She's, I think I've only seen her in Sightseers and Prevenge.
Sightseers. If you haven't seen that film,
yeah,
that's Ben Wheatley's masterpiece.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a brilliant film.
Yeah,
for sure. And she's brilliant in it.
Yeah.
And I think Prevenge is really damn good.
It is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Prevenge.
Shudder?
It's on Shudder.
Yeah.
It's a Shudder exclusive.
Nice.
That's cool. And I watched... Of course, when I'm in Seattle, I always have to go to Seattle Cinerama. I don't care what's playing there. I'll see whatever's playing there. Proof of that... Like 5 years ago, I saw Sucker Punch there, even though I saw Sucker Punch a couple weeks before that.
The action scenes in Sucker Punch are really good.
Yeah, that's true.
They probably looked mint on that
screen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. So the movie that was playing during my trip was Beauty and the Beast, and it was in 2D presentation, so there's no 3D nonsense. And of course, it had the Dolby Atmos sound.
And 4K laser projection.
Yeah, that's right. Just pristine presentation. And the depth of sound in the movie, like, there were moments where it felt like I was in the middle of that village. And as people were screaming and shouting, you could tell how far away they were from my seat. I was like, that's how immersive it was. So it actually gave me a really cool experience watching that movie again. And even though it's super safe, down the middle, you know, they don't really stray far off the tracks on that one. I had a really good time watching it at Cinerama.
Cool. Did you tell the popcorn person to be my guest?
I should have.
You should have.
Oh, darn it.
That joke will never die.
It will never die. So yeah, we saw that. And the other movie I watched recently was the Before Sunrise on Criterion Blu-ray, and just fell in love all over again. I adore that trilogy. So
I got to pick that box set up.
Yeah.
But I got to pay for a bunch of trips later on here, and I'm broke. So
yeah, for sure.
Still didn't stop me from buying Rogue One, though.
Oh, totally.
Is that it for you?
That's it for me.
Nice. I watched a few things.
Okay.
A couple weird things. I watched the Netflix original film, The Discovery, which I think played Sundance.
Yeah.
With Jason Segel, Rooney Mara, and Robert Redford. It's what would happen if people found out there was actually an afterlife.
Okay.
And the idea that people start killing themselves because they want to go to the afterlife because they think it would be better than this life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a really cool premise. And I was really digging it until it kind of just falls off the rail at the end.
Okay.
But it's still not bad.
Still worth watching.
Yeah, it's not bad. Jason Segel is really good.
Yeah.
Kind of come into his own.
Okay.
Redford's classy.
Yeah.
Rooney Mara has really bad blonde hair.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the blonde hair.
Okay. I'll send her a text after this.
Yeah, totally. Here's the weird one. I watched the Mad Max Black and Chrome edition.
Oh, how was that?
It's pretty cool. It looks really different.
Okay.
And it's the same film.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It is a really cool addition. It's, you know, don't buy it if you don't already own it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it really cheap.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I have it.
Oh,
but it's
cool.
Pretty cool. If you have a chance to see it, watch it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it theatrically.
Oh, totally.
So if somebody could hook that up, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But any chance to see Mad Max again would be cool.
Hey, I've got the email address of a film mogul in Victoria.
Nice. I heard he sets a lot of movies up.
Yeah, that's right. I'll make some phone calls for you, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Guy's so full of shit. A documentary called The Glamour and the Squalor. Do you know who Marco Collins is?
I know the name.
So he was a really influential DJ on the Seattle radio station 107.7 The End.
Okay.
Which was my youth, that radio station.
Yeah.
They broke every band in the grunge era.
Oh, wow.
So they were the first to play Nirvana, the first to play Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, all that stuff. Marco Collins, I listened to his show every day for probably 5 years.
Sweet.
And Marco Collins was a bit of a prick. He was really known for sort of playing stuff really early.
Okay.
Like he played Nirvana's In Utero 6 months early.
Oh, no way.
But he waited till like 5:30 or 6 on a Friday night so they couldn't get sued till Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was just a prick. And the record company would send somebody there to try to get them to stop it, and the security wouldn't let them upstairs.
Wow.
And yeah, and he played like every Pearl Jam CD early.
Wow.
He kind of burned out with drugs.
Oh, really?
And the documentary is about how he's trying to come back, and I wish him nothing but success because that guy was... He was my radio youth.
Oh, cool.
And kind of changed my whole musical outlook.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was pretty cool. It's not a great documentary, but it was lovely seeing him again.
Cool.
And hearing some of that stuff, because I heard it all.
Right on.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Some theatrical stuff.
Uh-oh.
So Adrian went away and didn't see anything this weekend, theatrically.
That's right.
And he missed Going in Style, the new Zach Braff film, where a bunch of old people do Hell or High Water without the style or class.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Got to rob the bank. And it sucked.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible.
I've heard that.
And by the way, fuck you, Zach Braff.
Yes.
You going to block me on Twitter now?
Yeah, he blocks people.
He blocks every critic who gives a bad review to the film.
That's so stupid.
Sorry, your feelings hurt, dude?
Yeah.
Block me. I don't care. Fuck you.
That's right.
The movie blew.
Oh, we're going to lose a listener over that.
Yeah, I don't care. That movie really sucks. Don't go and see that film.
Okay.
And The Boss Baby, a film completely not made for me. all the kids seemed to like it. No, I didn't think it was good at all.
Okay.
I said I wasn't going to see it, but the times kind of worked out after going in style.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, Adrian's not going to see it, and I don't know if he's going to see anything, so yeah. I might as well pad my stats a little bit.
There you go.
And it's terrible.
That sucks.
It's not made for me.
Yeah.
I've come to this conclusion.
Yeah.
It's just not made for me.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to like it.
Yeah.
It's for kids.
Yeah.
And I watched a 13-episode Netflix show.
Oh, yeah. What's it called again?
In a Day and a Half. And I was going to watch it with my 11-year-old cousin, and because it's like a young adult show. And somebody at my work was like, do not watch it with her.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I'm like, why? And she's like, in the last 3 or 4 episodes, people start killing themselves.
Ooh.
And slicing their wrists. Oh. And I'm just like, oh. She's like, oh, there's rape, too. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, jeez.
So the show is called 13 Reasons Why. And it's about this girl who kills herself, but leaves a bunch of tapes behind, like cassette tapes.
Okay, yeah.
Each side of the tape is somebody who screwed her over and made her want to kill herself.
Oh, wow.
And the first 3 or 4 episodes are really good, and it kind of dies in the middle. Then it gets really good at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a recommend.
Okay.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Just don't let your kids watch it.
Okay.
It's really hardcore.
Okay.
Really hardcore. For somebody who like watches like hardcore horror films,
yeah.
Something happens in the last episode. I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
Oh, jeez.
Like, and for a Netflix show, they have a warning at the beginning.
Oh, really?
Some of the episodes. Like, if wow. you have young kids, do not watch this.
Wow.
It's like, holy shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's and the lead girl is really good.
Okay.
The one who kills herself.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was good.
Cool.
I'm getting all young adult this episode.
Hey, all right.
Got some Your Name and 13 Reasons Why.
And The Boss Baby.
And The Boss Baby. That's it for me.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for Lightning Round. I've got nothing else.
Nice.
Watched a little bit of stuff here and there, but nothing to really talk about.
Cool.
What do we have coming up on the next episode?
The Fate of the Furious,
oh,
April 14th,
no.
baby.
Okay,
yeah. Which I've read some reviews of, and it's not getting very high marks. Let's just put it that way.
Really,
but really, did the last one?
I don't know.
The last one
not
was,
for me.
The last one was kind of garbage.
Yeah, I thought so too.
This is the last of this block of. I guess they're having like 50 other ones coming up soon.
Yeah,
this is the last of this group.
Okay,
maybe they'll switch it up and start racing cars again, because I like that stuff.
I enjoyed the car culture stuff.
So did I.
Yeah.
You gotta get me a, what, like a 3-second car or whatever?
Yeah. 10-second car.
Yeah, whatever.
You owe me a 10-second car.
A movie called A Quiet Passion, which I saw at VIFF last year.
Okay.
About Emily Dickinson,
mm-hmm.
the writer. Yeah. It's a Terrence Davies film. It's really slow, but worth it.
Okay.
It starts off a little slow, but once it starts to get going, it's pretty good, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, it's... It'll do well here.
Yeah.
We have a lot of old people in our town.
Oh, yeah.
Gifted.
Okay.
The new Mark Webb film.
Okay.
Starring Captain America himself.
Oh, that's right.
Who I think the story is he has a niece or nephew. A niece.
Niece, yeah.
Niece who is a real genius. And he's been told by his brother or sister to raise her a certain way, and all this stuff happens. It looks really good.
Cool.
I give it no justice. I saw the trailer once, and it was a long time ago, and I totally forget it. So yeah. That was my shitty description off a trailer I saw 6 months ago.
There you go.
April 21st, Disney Nature presents Born in China.
Oh, yeah.
Do these even open here?
I've seen one of them here.
Which one?
I can't remember.
Yeah. It's
and the crappy thing is, the one we watched was actually just stuff that was like from Planet Earth or something like that.
Nice.
So it's just, we watched it and we're like, oh, we've seen this already.
Wow.
So
yeah, I'm guessing it's like pandas and...
Yeah.
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 I'm sure
animals.
It's, sure, it's really nice and something I would totally not like.
Yeah.
Which I'm a dick, but whatever.
Yeah.
Both have seen this one. Free Fire from Ben Wheatley.
Yes.
Adrian likes it more than I do, but
yes.
I think it drags a little bit and goes on a little too long. But
you drag a little bit.
cool. But it's not a bad film.
Yeah.
Charlton Copley is amazing in it.
Yeah.
As are most of the people. Really good one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Just think it lasts a little too long.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably like it. Phoenix Forgotten.
The
Blair Witch with spaceships.
Oh, yeah.
Shot in the Academy ratio on a camcorder.
Yeah.
So, shaky cam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip it.
Yeah. I'll probably see it just because you won't.
Yeah.
Whatever. And this, like, single white female-like movie called Unforgettable with Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson.
Oh, what?
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Oh, it's weird. It looks like the Katherine Heigl character is, like, a psychopath, and she used to date Rosario Dawson's guy, and she wants him back, so they... Katherine Heigl does a bunch of bad stuff.
Oh.
Yes.
Is there any naughtiness in this
one? I don't know, but it looks
Do they awful. Wrestle?
I don't know. It looks really terrible.
This sounds like something I'd be really into like 13 years ago.
Yeah, this would have been a really cool movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
But no, I probably will skip that one.
Yeah, me too.
I'll see Phoenix Forgotten.
Hey.
And Adrian can see Unforgettable.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man.
No. That's it.
Wow.
It's going to be a real fun show next time.
That's a rough ride.
Oh. Probably should have saved your name for next episode.
Maybe. Oh, well. We'll talk about Chef again next episode.
That'll be cool.
Chef and retrospective on John Wick. Yeah, that's a rough time, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Here's hoping Fate of the Furious has a little bit of goodness to it.
I'm hoping, like... No, I'm not. Well,
fuck this film, dude.
The trailers, yeah, the trailers haven't sold me.
Dude, like what I said when we watched XXX, Vin Diesel checked out of that Fast and the Furious franchise and is now into XXX.
Yeah.
That's his thing now.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
So am I.
Yeah, I want more XXX.
We're like the only two people who like XXX.
Yeah.
A friend of mine watched it at work and he fucking hated it.
Oh, no.
And he yelled
way.
At me for it. He's like, why did you tell me? I knew that movie would suck.
Wow.
And I'm like, it didn't suck.
It's so fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. When would you say you abandoned from the Fast and Furious franchise?
The last good one was 6.
Okay.
And it wasn't even that good. It was maybe 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
5 was really good.
Yeah. 5 is
fun.
Cool.
Fun. Yeah. But 1 is okay. 2 is unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
And good.
It's like Top Gun.
Yeah. 3 is terrible.
Oh, I love 3, dude.
4 is okay.
Yeah.
5 is good.
Yeah.
6 is meh, okay. And 7 was garbage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I loved the first one, hated the second one, even though it's like Top Gun remake.
Totally.
To the extreme.
Yeah.
Like, Roman is like so jealous that, what's his name? Brian is hitting on women and stuff. And it's got this weird, weird...
sexual overtones?
Yeah. Big time. And Tokyo Drift. I have this weird soft spot for Tokyo Drift. I love the movie. And I'll never apologize for enjoying that movie. I just love that culture, the racing, the women in that movie.
Yeah. I hope they get back to the cars.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. And then, number 4 was when they started doing the more hardcore heist stuff, and I hated that one. And 5 was, like, fun. It was like, the peak amount of camp that I could take out of that franchise, and I think it's just been steep decline after that. So
cool. Yeah, next episode's going to be great.
Yeah. We may not be that enthusiastic, but we'll see.
We're going to review Adrian's 4K copy of Planet Earth 2.
Yeah, let's do that. That's actually a really cool series.
I know. I've seen it. It's great.
Yeah.
Right, I watched it in like 720p, though. So.
Okay. So you're a garbage person.
Oh, I seen something you haven't seen.
Okay.
I've seen the first episode of the new Trip series.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Cool. How's that?
It's really funny.
Nice.
Guess what? Rod Brydon and Steve Guggen, still really funny.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Soon to be a movie.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll watch the TV series first.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Well, that's that's what you have to look forward to in the next episode. I guess we should tell people where they can find us online. You have a Twitter account, right?
Yeah, I have a Twitter account, at SoundJam69. I started a Letterboxd account, but I'm not giving that out. Fuck you guys.
There you go. That's awesome.
If you're important, you already have it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have a Letterboxd account. I can't remember what it's called. You can probably find it by looking up Adrian Charlie or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account. It's @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like, and hey, you liked our page. Good for you. Here's a badge. And we also have a website, thegreenscreenofdeath.com. As far as I know, sometimes when you get a certain number of episodes, and we're pretty heavy into it now, sometimes it's hard to find the older episodes through the, you know, podcast app. So you can always go to the website. All of our episodes are there. Maybe skip the first few, though. But I check the stats, and sometimes people listen to those first few episodes. Those ones still linger. We tell you not to.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Start at like episode 5 or 6. Yeah. We talk about Chef.
Yeah, that's right.
That's our first good episode.
That's right.
I might have been drinking that episode.
That's true.
One of only 2 times that I've drank on the podcast.
There you go. That's a gem for you right there.
About like 20 episodes ago, I think I took a big shot of Jägermeister before the show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you knew that. Sorry.
It's probably when you were mean or something.
I'm always mean.
That's true. That's true.
I think I was rather joyous this episode.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's all good, man. All good. Cool. I guess we can wrap it up. And thanks again to anybody who's checking us out. I have a list of podcasts I listen to, and I know that you only have a certain number of podcasts you can listen to. So if you check us out, we really appreciate that. I think that's cool.
For sure.
So until next
time. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
I should probably say that.
There you go. Thanks very much for checking us out. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.